This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
A couple of days ago, somebody asked me, are the Canes done making moves to the roster? And I said, yeah, they're done. Ha ha, guess not. Paul Stastny, six or seven times, I'm added up again, seven time 20-goal scorer, including last year. Signed by the Hurricanes just yesterday, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Well, I'm certainly glad they weren't done. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So I appreciate your time. This is late in the process. Why were you still hanging out at home? And I know home right now is Vegas. And what draws you to Carolina?
I think we're just, I mean, I'm indifferent. We're patient with the process. I think we could have, you know, if we had to, we could have signed something on the first day, and then we're kind of waiting for, you know, some things to tinker out. And then, you know, once a couple of days pass up, I think it's almost better to wait it out and see what happens later in the summer, because the first couple of days are always crazy, and then after it kind of dies off a little bit, and you can kind of get a clearer picture. And for me, I was kind of being picky about it, because I wanted to go to a good team that has a chance to win. You know, that's the most important thing for me. And obviously, you want to go to a team that wants you. And then, you know, Carolina popped up there, and it was intriguing for sure. And then, you know, obviously, I'm really close friends with Pacioretty, and I've always respected, and they've always been a tough team to play against, you know, mm-hmm. for the last couple of years, ever since Rod, you know, they've kind of turned a corner. So that's something that really kind of intrigued me and, you know, put them on the radar. So I'm really excited to kind of put pen and paper and get started.
Yeah, teammate with Max Pacioretty during your time with the Vegas Golden Knights. So when did this process begin with Carolina? And then what was your research about what the Hurricanes are all about?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you kind of know. Everything takes a couple of weeks, and mm-hmm. I've kind of, like I said, I've been through this process before, and then I'm older now, so for us, I knew we're kind of looking for a one-year deal, so there was no rush on anything. And obviously, when you make a big decision like this, you kind of want to do your research, and whether it's talking to different players or talking to guys that have been there before, or, you know, for me, it's a small league. It's a very small league, so word gets around quick, so it's not that hard to figure out, you know, how the coaching staff is, how the management is, how the city is, how good the team is. So stuff like that it's very, you know, word travels fast. And when you hear nothing but good things, it excites you.
You played against Rod Brind'Amour. I don't know what your record was in the faceoff circle against Rod Brind'Amour. I'm sure if I had the time, I could go back and figure it out. What are your thoughts about playing for Rod?
I'm excited. I think I don't even know how many years I played against them. A couple, but early in my career, I think it was different. That was when, you know, the Western Conference and Eastern Conference teams would play each other, you know, just one time a year, or sometimes you wouldn't even play against them.
Right.
So you didn't really travel that far. But no, I'm excited. Like I said, he was always an honest, really good two-way player. And the way kind of he coaches his team seems like everyone, you know, plays that two-way game. And I think it's hard to find this league. You have a lot of guys that, you know, sometimes just want to play one-dimensional, but it obviously takes the toughest teams to play are the teams that, you know, play as hard defensively as they do offensively.
You played with Winnipeg the last couple of years. One of Carolina's former coaches, Paul Maurice, was your coach until about mid-season. He'll be coaching Florida this year. But did you seek out, like, Paul or somebody else to kind of give you an idea of what the area is like?
No, but like I said, I keep everything pretty close, you know, pretty tight to my chest. So I have a very small circle I trust. So really not that many people knew what teams were involved, and, you know, I'd rather keep it that way. But like I said, I know Paul loved his time down there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another coach. That's awesome. Awesome guy. Awesome
yeah.
coach. Awesome person. I have most utmost respect for him. But, like I said, I think Pat said it, in an interview a couple of days ago, like when you see so many alumni kind of end up, you know, putting down their roots in Carolina, it shows what kind of city, you know, what kind of place it is to raise a family. And I grew up in St. Louis, and St. Louis is the same way, where, you know, my dad played a year and a half in St. Louis, and then we were raised there. And it just seems like Carolina has that kind of Midwest small town city feel to it where, you know, everyone just wants to see everyone succeed, and I'm excited for that.
Will it be better to play with Jordan Staal than against him?
Yeah, he's always tough to play against. Another guy that, battle on face-offs. And, you know, we came in the league together. I think he's a couple years younger than me. But, we have a couple of good mutual friends. So I'm excited to play with him and excited to, like you said, not to line up against him because he's one of the few players, too. It's always annoying to play against when you're playing against him as a check in line because he doesn't give you much.
He's just so big. I don't even know what you do. Like, you're not a small guy, Paul, but he is just such a huge man. He really is very gentle as well, but I'm sure he's not gentle to play against. Just a couple of your thoughts as a guy who has played against the Hurricanes at least enough. When I say Sebastian Aho, what do you say?
Smooth, very slippery, very smart, hockey player, because obviously I don't know how big he is off the ice, but he seems like he's tiny, but like to be, when I say tiny, I mean like, under 200 pounds.
And right.
Whatever he is, 5'11", 180. When you see that, like, you got to be a smart player to play in this league because you can play, because he's playing against the top defensemen, the top players, top checking line centers, and he always finds ways to produce. And when I see players like that, I just know between the ears how smart of a hockey player he is.
Well, I'm sure you're tech savvy. Do a Google search for Sebastian Aho, Elf on the Shelf. And you know what an elf on the show. You've seen it?
Oh, yeah. No, but I'll check it out.
Oh, my God. Well, look, he's certainly not hulking. He's probably 5'11", but he's got good, sturdy lower body strength. But the Elf on the Shelf, he did a great job with that. All right, playing against, you don't have to play against a Jacob Slavin or a Brett Burns anymore. You get to play with them. That's got to be good.
Yeah, I've had a couple of battles with Burnsy. That guy is, they're both strong players. I think Burnsy's a little dirtier, very undercover dirty. And I think he might have came in the league before me, but I played against him when he was a forward in Mini and a D-man in San Jose. And I know those good hockey players that are undercover, sneaky, dirty. And those are the ones that you hate playing against. And then Slavs, I've actually, I think, I don't know if he was raised in Colorado. So I ran across him a few times when I spent my summers in Denver, and off the ice, just a great guy. And then on the ice, I mean, you've seen him develop into a player, and he's just, I mean, that guy is just a force to be reckoned with. Just playing against him, I think he's so big and smart and smooth that, he can cover so much ice, and one of those guys that could probably play 30 minutes a night and not even be tired.
I 100% agree with that, and Rod doesn't do that until he has to. All right, before I ask you one more question, I need you to clarify what you mean by undercover dirty, because this to me is a great phrase that I will use during the hockey season. So, Paul Stastny, explain what undercover dirty is.
Yeah, because Burns is so strong, it's like, sometimes you'll see guys get slashed in the back of the leg. I mean, you'll see someone get slashed in the wrist or in the pants hard, right, and that doesn't hurt because you have padding there. But, like, when you see just a little whack on the side of the knee or on the calf, those are so painful. And sometimes you watch a replay, and it looks harmless. But you got to remember, like, he uses probably a 120, 125 flex. So it's a really stiff, heavy stick, and he's really strong. And same thing, he throws these little forearm shivers, these little cross checks that – because, if we threw him – we'd have to throw away more force than them. When bigger guys that are taller can get away with it, it looks like a normal hockey play, but those are the ones that give you bruises and kind of make you sore the next day.
I'm going to use that phrase all year long. Paul Stastny, undercover dirty. Are you undercover dirty?
sometimes in playoffs, when I have to be, but...
it's okay.
You get away with it.
It's hockey.
Not the regular season. The regular season, not too much. Sometimes it's too much effort to do that stuff. I don't play like that. Playoff time comes around, it's a different animal, so different things come out.
All right, final thing about playoff time. This team has gotten so far in the postseason. What's the next step, the element maybe that you bring to get them across that finish line?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, obviously, health is always important. It takes a little luck. I mean, you look at last year, I feel like, I watched a lot of that series because I had a good friend on New York. So I was watching that, and it was a good series. And, to me, I think, if you have healthy goaltending, that makes a difference. You know, that's no excuse. But and then you look at New York, and New York could be in Tampa. So all of a sudden, you know, if you beat New York, you could be in the final. The year before, you run to Vasilevsky, which is, you know, a lot of teams do that. So, I mean, they're close. They're knocking. I think the experience is there, and that's important. You got to – sometimes you got to learn to lose, and then you realize, you know, how important it is, the little things. And then I think experience always helps too, just guys that have been through it, whether they've gone far enough to realize, you know, the ups and downs of playoffs, especially the emotions, and realizing that you know, for me, it's easier playing on the road. And I know Carolina's been a team that's just been dominant at home. And I think sometimes with experience, you realize, you know, it's great to be good at home, but on the road, you know, sometimes it's easier to play on the road, and I actually like it better. And I think with experience, with more games played, you know, you come to realize, you kind of try to teach the guys to realize how nice this place on the road, because there is no pressure. You just go out there and play, and mental, it's all mental. All the playoffs is a big mental, you know, fills with ups and downs. And I think you just got to listen to older guys that have been through it. And you, me as an older guy, you got to try to help those younger guys just to realize that, you know, it's only one day, who cares, kind of throw it away and move on to the next day. And easier said than done, but I think the more you've done it, the more you realize how important it is.
Paul Stastny, new Carolina Hurricane, when necessary, undercover dirty. And I appreciate that. We'll talk to you when you get to town. I know you'll be here in about a week or so. Congrats on the signing, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Paul Stastny, brand new Carolina Hurricane, signed yesterday, and definitely complicates my depth chart. I don't know where to put him. Do I put him at left wing? Do I put him at center? If I put him at center, where do I put Jack Drury? Do I put Jack Drury at center? Do I put him at right wing? I don't know. Or left wing. I don't know. There's all sorts of, I don't know.
Options.
I don't know.
It's a good problem to have, though.
It is a good, he's still a good player. He's 36, but his seventh 20-goal season came a year ago for a team that, I mean, kind of went away in the middle of the season. It couldn't have been easy to play for the Jets. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Little Feet all day. We're taking your suggestions on albums. Charles says, Mother Further by Mother's Finest. Never heard of the album or the group, but I'm sure it's great. All right. Jay Farrow is going to join us in about 7.5 minutes or so. Before we get to that, it's time to continue our NFL tour. Dennis Cox, where are we headed today?
Down to the ATL, good sir.
Oh, we're going to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Gosh.
First of all, much like Southern California and Inglewood, California, be ready to sit in traffic.
Gosh.
It's a staple thing you got to do in Atlanta.
Yeah, just take MARTA whenever I'm there.
In traffic. It is awful, by the way.
I mean, traffic, Atlanta's a gigantic city, and it's sprawling, so I'm not surprised.
It's just, it's terrible.
So.
Now, there's some things you got to do while you are in, actually, when you're sitting waiting in traffic, or if you're riding MARTA. Atlanta has a very deep and rich crop of talent that in the world of hip-hop.
Like, okay.
Atlanta hip-hop is its own town. Much like New York has a sound, Southern California has a sound, New Orleans does, Atlanta has a sound, North Carolina has a sound. But Atlanta hip-hop has actually produced some of the biggest artists of all time. Again, we're talking T.I., Ludacris, Outkast, Future, Jeezy, Migos, Big Boy, obviously part of Outkast. Donald Glover is... Atlanta.
Right.
Based as well. Andre 3000, part of Outkast. Jermaine Dupri, who's actually was born in the Asheville area, but made his name down in Atlanta in the hip-hop world. So Atlanta hip-hop.
Atlanta could win the Super Bowl now.
Yeah, they really could with that kind of lineup. Yeah. So I would definitely immerse yourself and listen to a lot of Atlanta-based hip-hop when you're going down there. But you got to do some of the obvious things in Atlanta. Got to go to the aquarium. Got to go to the World of Coca-Cola, which I still have yet to go do.
Yeah, we actually talked about World of Coke a couple of weeks ago.
You did?
You can try, like, these are not necessarily Cokes, but these are carbonated offerings in every country where they sell Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And I mentioned one that they sell in Italy that was, I tried it and I could not believe that anybody drinks it. And somebody emailed me and said, I think it's called the Beverly.
Okay.
It is horrendous. It's really? So bad.
That bad?
Like you go, you spit it out, go, why does anybody drink this? But they do, you know, they drink whatever they want to anywhere.
Well, I know different countries have different regulations in terms of what you're allowed to actually put into drinks in terms of preservatives and not being able to use high fructose corn syrup and have to use sugar. So that's why when you get here in the United States, you might say like, oh, that's a glass bottle of Coke, but it's Mexican because a Mexican-produced bottled Coca-Cola tastes different.
Because it has cane sugar as opposed to high fructose corn syrup.
Real cane sugar. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I'd go check out the World of Coca-Cola.
Oh, it's great. It was a very fun, you know, hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't spend cool that place much time around.
Yeah. The Georgia Aquarium is a very popular place to
you
go to.
You are an
as
aquarium
well.
Guy. You have mentioned an aquarium, and I would
What's
say
What's wrong with an aquarium?
I'm not knocking it, but you have mentioned an aquarium in probably 40% of our cities.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine.
Good for these cities to have aquariums.
Exactly. We like fish.
We do. And other sea creatures.
Yeah. Urchins.
I've mentioned pinball museums in multiple places as well, but there's not one actually in Atlanta. It's in Ackworth, so not actually in Atlanta.
Okay.
Now, there's also the Centennial Olympic Park, because the Olympics were actually held, remember correctly, it was 96.
Yep, in Atlanta.
And in Atlanta. So Centennial Olympic Park is where the opening ceremonies took place.
Muhammad Ali lit the torch there.
Yeah, it's actually a really cool place to go check out. So if you're ever in Atlanta, go check out the Centennial Olympic Park. And that it's interesting because Turner Field, where the Braves played for the longest time, was actually built for the Olympics.
It was.
And was obviously, I'm going to say lack of a better term, repurposed, but I think the design was being built was, hey, we're going to build it for the Olympics, and then the Braves can play here.
Right. And then they ran away from, they ran all their white fans in Cobb County.
Yeah.
That's where what the Braves did.
So they ran away from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Also, check out the MLK Jr. National Historical Park. I recommend going to that in Atlanta as well. Now, another staple in Atlanta, wings are big.
Yes.
Like chicken wings are huge.
Give it to us.
All right. So on Culture State with Chris Lee and I, we actually had Brandon Robinson, former UNC basketball player, on recently, who's from Georgia. And we got into a conversation about wings down there. And down there, lemon pepper wings are the flavor to go to.
Absolutely.
It is go to. And then here's the thing. The way they are made down in Atlanta, from my understanding, is extra crispy, but just smothered in sauce.
Sure.
Just absolutely smothered in sauce. Did you know that Lou Williams, NBA player, has wings named after him at a certain establishment?
It cost him a suspension during the pandemic when he left the bubble to go to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Forget the name of the place he went to. It was a club. It was a strip club.
Magic Kingdom.
Magic City.
Magic City.
So
sorry.
He goes to Magic City, Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom.
Oh my gosh. Snow White. I can't believe. Never mind. So he goes to goes to Magic City. He gets wings and he can't. They don't let him. They can't let him back in the bubble. He has to quarantine.
But he
got wings.
He has wings.
But he got wings.
Named after him. And talking to our good friends over at the Sports Shop, which you can hear on Buzz Sports Radio in the mornings here in the Raleigh area.
Right.
people actually go to that place just for wings. Like, people like legit do to go orders at that place for wings.
So, look, if the food is good, the food is good.
Yeah.
End of discussion. You don't have to be there for the entertainment, right?
Yeah.
There are restaurants with great bands, you know, with great lounge music. You don't have to go there for the lounge music.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, if the wings are good, the wings are good.
Yeah.
And apparently, to Lou Williams, the lemon pepper wings, good enough to get suspended over.
Yeah.
End of discussion. We have a donut before we talk to Jay Farrell?
We do. We do have a donut.
By the way, I want to credit you for not mentioning the varsity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Unless the varsity has donuts.
Oh, do they?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
And varsity's trash.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Places call it, it's Daylight Donuts, or okay. Some people call it Atlanta Donuts.
Okay.
Is the name of the place. Been around for 65 years.
65 years of, yep, Atlanta Donuts. Mm-hmm. Daylight Donuts in Atlanta. Fantastic stuff. Absolutely fantastic. They're doing a little bit of a pro-am in front of the Tour Championship. Larry Fitzgerald and Tom Glavine are both playing. Both very, very good golfers, and I want to give Larry Fitzgerald credit. He is decked out in a Tiger Woods black pants, red mock turtle ensemble. Good for Larry Fitzgerald. We know he is enormous, enormous golf fan, good player, and a Tiger Woods freak. So, man, you got to have a lot of guts to do that on TV, to come out in your Tiger gear. So, good for him. All right, so that's a tour of Atlanta. By the way, just as a what's coming up, Josh Graham will host this show tomorrow and Friday. I am gearing up for week zero, and I just need a couple of days to get ready for FAMU and North Carolina. And then we hit the ground running Monday as we walk up to the start of week one in the college football season. And then the following week is the first week of the NFL season. And that is going to be an absolute, I mean, I can't wait for the opener. Like, right now, if you're asking me to pick a team that's going to win the Super Bowl, taking the Buffalo Bills. Taking the Buffalo Bills.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. Jay Farrow, the first time I remember seeing Jay Farrow was on SNL doing Shaquille O'Neal. I am a huge fan and still go down the rabbit hole of Black Jeopardy, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. He's going to be at the Raleigh Improv Friday night and Saturday night, and I'm excited to talk to Jay Farrow. How you doing, man?
Man, I can't complain, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. So when I knew we could speak with you, I did a little bit of I went down my own Jay Farrow rabbit hole, you do 200 different impressions?
Oh, yeah. 200 impressions. Like, most of the time, people only ask for a couple of them, but yeah, over 200.
It's, now, I don't even know how you, what was the first one you did?
I was a Gilbert Gottfried. It was the Iago off of Aladdin. That was my first one. And the second one was Forrest Gump. And the third, Sally Field and Forrest Gump.
Wait. You do Sally Field?
I used to. This is before they dropped. This is before my puberty kicked in. You know what I mean? It's easier to do a woman's voice when your babies are closer to your body. You know, like.
Totally understand that.
Yeah, for sure. So it was that, and then it was more Disney characters, and then Looney Tunes, and then Ed and Eddie, and then Dexter's from Dexter's Lab, and then it was after that, it started to get, you know, you got your Eddie Murphy and then your Biggie Smalls, your Jay-Z. That's why I started doing that afterwards. But yeah, man, I've been at this since I was six, bro.
That is six years old. So obviously,
I had no friends. That's what it was. That's how I got all these voices. I had no friends. I had to make somebody up. You got to talk to somebody. You can go crazy. You seen Denzel in The Hurricane?
Yeah.
There was nobody in that cell but him. But he was talking. But he was talking to different versions of himself. Now imagine me doing that with different characters. That's what it was, man.
There was a crowd wherever Jay Farrow was. There was a crowd. You can follow
him. Right.
You can go to his website, jfarrowworld.com. Forgetting about the impressions for a second, as a kid, I grew up. I saw Eddie Murphy at Westbury Music Fair on Long Island.
Oh man,
right?
That must have been amazing.
It was the Raw and the Delirious era. I actually saw him before both of those came out. You couldn't do that comedy today, really, and get away with it, could you?
No. You couldn't do that. It's funny because the older folks' terminology that don't understand the new era and the way that things are changing and the way that things are sensitive. They're less inclined to tap into it. Like they still got the old school thinking. Like, I'm not gonna say who this older person is because you know they might be related to me. But I was talking to them on the phone and we were talking about monkeypox.
Oh gosh.
And and this person was like, yeah, but you know, you ain't got to worry about it from the straight people. They don't get the monkey pot. The F words, get it right. It's the F words, right? The F words. You can't call them that, man. You got to call them homosexuals. But it was like, it was the older school. They don't have that composure to not be old school. You know what I mean? So you definitely couldn't do that today, man. You'd be all types of canceled.
Right.
Shoot, everybody would have been talking about Eddie Murphy. Everybody would talk about it. He would have been in trouble with the LGBTQ community. It would not have been good for him.
I grew up watching Pryor. I used to have albums, tapes of Richard Pryor and George Carlin. How big is that still for somebody like you, or is it all touring?
No, I mean, I still go on the road. I mean, of course, I'm on the road now, but
right.
Those tapes, though, man, like being able to record that, dude, that definitely creates your comedic mind. I remember when I was 17 years old, I just graduated. My Uncle Patrick had given me all of these Richard Pryor cassette tapes. Mm. Because at the time, I still had the Accurate Legend. My parents had given me the Accurate Legend, and it had a cassette player in there. And I would sit while I was 17 when I graduated, so I was still I was going to community college at the time, I guess, in the fall, and I was listening to Richard Pryor, but like before I would go in my classes. And I was like, yo, what is it? Some of the stuff I didn't understand. I still didn't understand. I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I was a real innocent kid. But boy, when I Googled, I said, holy hell. Okay.
I mean,
I was like, wow. Okay, Richard. Okay. That's how you feel, Rich. That's what you did. All right, cool.
He was,
you know, so
yeah.
Yeah.
He crossed over into movies. I mean, but that's what you're doing now too.
Absolutely.
Is this the evolution of your career? Is this, I don't know why I'm getting so serious here. We're talking to Jay Farrow. The evolution of your career, is this where you wanted to be? Because now you're doing voiceover movies. You just did an animated movie. You were the voice, one of the voices in that. Is this where you wanted to be, or is this just the evolution as the opportunities presented themselves?
Nah, man, I always had like a scope of what I wanted to do in my career, and definitely the transition to films and being able to not only do comedic films, but tap into drama, tap into whatever entertainment is, man. You know, that was the goal. Since I've left SNL, I've shot 12 movies since I've left SNL, man, and I couldn't be I couldn't be more blessed and more thankful to be a part of all the projects that are coming out. Like, dude, I got a project that I'm dropping with Leslie Jones and Ken Jeong. Mm. And you know, and Milana also she's in it. Emily, good gracious, people's last names will get them. Yeah. There's a lot of stars in this movie. I got that's coming out next month for Paramount and also Comedy Central, and then, you know, the animated movies where you're working with Ice Cube, where you're working with Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. you're working with Anderson .Paak and her, and, you know, you get these opportunities, and it's like, yeah, dude, this is what I wanted the trajectory to be, and finally being here, you know, it's just important to just be thankful for it, because that's when it just expands and keeps going, you know, so I'm happy that everything is still going. I could still sell tickets. I could still sell out places, and you know, that's a good feeling, especially now with all of the dangers of coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like folks, folks feel like they have to risk their lives to to get entertained, to come in these venues, and it's like, yo, if you're coming to see me, you're risking your life, but you're risking your life to laugh. So you're really a fan. I really appreciate that. Otherwise, somebody look at the ticket and be like, wait a second, who? Nah, I'm not gonna go see that. Lil Bow Wow. Nah, I'm not gonna risk my life for no Lil Bow Wow, Chad. I'm gonna stay in the house. You know what I'm saying? So for folks to be like, oh yeah, I gotta risk my life. I gotta risk it for Jay. You know what I mean? Metaphorically speaking, of course. It's a real, it feels really good.
All right. Well, final yeah. thing for Jay Farrow. I made a point yeah. to not ask you to do an impression, but if you want to do Stephen A. Smith, feel free. I am curious. I'm sure Stephen A. got a kick out of you doing Stephen A. because he is just super, I mean, he's been in this studio before, by the way. He's super just really? Expressive and flamboyant. Yeah, I mean, these guys come to town because we have basketball here. So they show up every once in a while, and they got to do their show. So while you're here, we're going to steal you for a few minutes. So did Stephen A. ever reach out and talk about the impression?
What's funny is that I heard from Stephen A. Smith about a week ago. He just texted me. He had a new deal. He had a new deal that he got, and I was like, oh, man, congratulations. But so first of all, Stephen A. Smith is like, he's really like my uncle, like straight up, bro. He reminds me of my Uncle Patrick. We're born on the same day, which is really weird. Both Libras. It's just Stephen was really, he had a lot of good things to say about my impression, which was cool, because, you know, it had never been, Stephen A. Smith had never been done before. And thanks to Robert Smigel, you know, he hit me up with this script back in 2012, and he was like, man, can you play Stephen A. Smith? And I was like, I've seen this dude all the time, but I never, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really tap into it, but it was so familiar to me already, because, like I told you, he reminds me of my uncle, you know, so I was able to go there. And when I saw him in person, I said, Stephen, did you like it? He was like, oh, yeah, absolutely, brother, absolutely. Absolutely loved it. Listen, I've been getting all the press. Everybody's been talking about this. You know, you do a very good job impersonating me, because if it wasn't good, it would be blasphemous. I'd be incredulous. It'd be individualious and paralysis. It's just totally crazy. You know, he just throws those words in there. Yep. You know what I'm saying? It's just those words that he throws in there. Yeah, buddy. But if you ever in your life, for me and Skip together in a situation, you better make sure that situation is fruitful. Because honestly, when it comes to impersonating people, mimicry is the sheerest form of flattery. And if it's flattering, that means that you're actually a fan. But if you're halfway doing it, that means that you didn't care at all. And that means you just hang it up. You just hang it up because it can be considered Walmart versions of me and Skip. And I don't really like that. So it was amazing, man. So shout out to Stephen A. Smith.
Well, thank you very much. I hope people pack the place at the Raleigh Improv, which is actually in Cary, but it's all Raleigh. Jay Farrow. Yeah, it's great. Thank you very much for doing this. This whole thing came together really quickly. It really just came together last night. I appreciate your time. Safe travels here. I know you're out west right now. I hope everything goes yeah. well at the Improv, and I'd love to talk to you again down the road. Congratulations on all the success.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much.
You got it. Jay Farrow. The hardest thing to do, is to have a comedian on the show and say, be funny.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know, like, do they want to do, did they want to come on and tell jokes? So
yeah.
It just has to be just a natural conversation. But Farrow is awesome. Absolutely awesome. The Stephen A. is great. The Shaq is great. And again, I slipped down another Black Jeopardy rabbit hole last night on YouTube. Have you seen, you've seen that skit which on SNL,
oh, yeah.
Right? Kenan Thompson, of course, is the host, and it's tremendous. The best episode, though, is with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Doug.
Yes.
Skinny women can do this for you. What is not a damn thing?
Doug!
Just, I'm sorry. I get lost in all of that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.